First Chronicles. Well, you say, why are we over in First Chronicles, preacher? Well, because First Chronicles also chronicles for us some of these events that have been going on with King Saul and King David. And First Chronicles chapter 10 actually picks up right where we have just left off at the close of 1 Samuel. And as we have launched into 2 Samuel, we noticed in our reading yesterday how David got word about 3 days after that battle between Israel and the Philistines. And something that we want to recognize is that battle that took place was the same battle that David was joining himself with Achish to go fight against King Saul. But remember, the Philistine commanders, the lords over the Philistines, when they saw David at the rear guard with Achish, they didn't want David and his men to go fight with him because they were afraid of the fact that once they got out on the battlefield, David, along with his warriors, would actually turn against the Philistines, fight against them, join in with Saul, and they would be caught off guard by that. They didn't want to risk it, so they talked the king into sending David back to Ziklag. Well, David, he went back to Ziklag. What happened when he got back over there? He found that the Amalekites had actually raided and taken his wives and all their resources. He sought God's face. They wanted to kill David because of it. They put the blame on him, you know, and leaders normally get the blame on things. They either get a lot of times they'll get the glory, and a lot of times they'll get the blame. He went from being a hero to zero pretty quick. But the thing with leadership, whether it's in a home, because dads can go to hero to zero pretty quick. First time dad, or dad's got to tell that son or that daughter or that wife, no, we can't do this. Man, they can go from being a hero to zero just like that. No, we don't have the resources to do that. No, you can't go to that party. No, you can't go on that trip. Boy, they go to a zero real fast. But soon as they say, yeah, you can, they're the hero. Quarterbacks, coaches, principals, leaders in general, people in general. You can either go from zero to hero or hero to zero in a blink of an eye. Well, that's what happened with David. Well, what did David do? David strengthened himself in the Lord. He sought God, which was characteristic of him. That's just what he did. That's who he was. He had a heart that was after the Lord. So he sought God in his life. He consistently sought him, and God consistently answered him. When he sought the Lord, God gave him a word. What was the word? You go take everything that the enemy has taken from him. You won't lose a thing. Everything's going to be all right. Well, they do that. They get back 3 days later. Once they get back, here comes this young Amalekite, and he's got King Saul's crown and some jewelry that he had. And he presented it to David and said, I found King Saul on the battlefield. He was dying and he asked me to kill him. So I killed him and took his crown off his head, took the jewelry, the bracelets off of his arm, and I'm bringing them to you. Well, when David heard that, it grieved his spirit. I think that young boy thought he was going to bring good news to David, but it wasn't good news. He didn't rejoice over it. He wasn't grateful for it. He wasn't thankful for it. The young man was thankful, but David wasn't. So David has the young man killed, and then he begins to prepare for the journey. He inquired of the Lord. God sent him back to Hebron, where he was king over Judah, and he reigned there for 6 years, nearly 7 years. And that we find this in First Chronicles gives us another perspective of it, a view of it that I think will help us recognize a couple things about Saul that we already know, but that we will take it a step further and see why he died and how God killed him. And this is what the Bible reveals. So verse number 13 of 1 Chronicles chapter number 10 reads, so Saul died, and he died for his unfaithfulness, his transgression, his trespass, his waywardness, his backsliding, which he had committed against the Lord, because he did not keep the word of the Lord, and also because he consulted a medium for guidance. Verse 14 reads, "But he," King Saul, "did not inquire of the Lord, therefore he," God, "killed him and turned the kingdom over to David, the son of Jesse." Father, we thank you today that we can humble ourselves before you and seek your help in this, that we can understand these things. We know that without your help, we can't fully comprehend what you want us to know. No matter how well it is taught, no matter how eloquent it is expressed, without the supernatural work that you must do within us for us to hear and to see and understand these things, it won't avail to anything. So really, what I'm saying, we're at your mercy today. And we ask that you fill us. We ask that you teach us, that you give us the message that is needed, that we can walk in your faithfulness, that we can protect what you've given us, and that we would live a life that is diligently seeking and inquiring and believing and trusting you. So we're thankful for you today. We need your help. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I brought a scale in here today. Where's that scale? How many of y'all like a scale? Most of us want to avoid a scale, right? But I don't know if y'all can notice this. This scale's been sitting out. We just pulled it out in the last week or so. So it's been tucked away because we rarely ever get on a scale, and that old scale will mess with your mind if you're not careful. How many of y'all recognize that? If you're constantly getting on the scale, looking at the numbers of what you weigh, and you're trying to watch what you're doing, how you're eating, it'll mess with you. So the best thing to do is not even get on the scale. That'd be the best thing. Just eat right, do right, and leave the scale alone. But we pull this out for a purpose, for a reason. And I noticed this morning as I was looking at it, I don't know if y'all can tell. You see that, Stephanie? What's all over the top of that scale? Footprint. I see a few toes on there. Look at that scale. What's on there?
A little dust.
A little dust. Look. Now, that don't take long. Y'all realize you don't have to do anything to get dirty.
No.
All you got to do is just stay still and you'll get dirty. Like the church outside, just the house over there, it don't go nowhere. It don't go jump in mud puddles, but it sure enough get dirty, won't it? It needs to be cleaned from time to time. The same thing with anything else. You let something sit still long enough in a room, look at that. The dust is going to what? Going to collect on it. You see that, Mama Rob? It don't take no time for it to happen. But you know what? This dust on this scale is insignificant. Scriptures teach us that, matter of fact, a person never even wipes the dust off of a scale. Why? Because it's unmeasurable. It doesn't equate to a weight that you're trying to find. It's insignificant. So there's no need to clean the dust off of it to get an accurate weight. Why? Because if I was to activate this scale and get it to turn for me, which is not on this soft floor, there it goes. I'm looking at it right now, it's showing 0 pounds. Why? Because the dust on it is not going to change the weight of it one bit. And that is how God viewed King Saul's inquiring of him. Because the Bible tells us that Saul inquired of the Lord. There was two different distinct times that the scriptures recorded that Saul inquired of the Lord, but each time he inquired of God, God didn't answer him. Why? Because God tells us in his word, when God does not value where we are in life, where our heart is at, it doesn't matter how we seek him. It doesn't matter when we seek him. It doesn't matter what we're asking for. The scripture says God doesn't listen to us. Now, I know that's unpopular in our day because most people would tell you that God hears everybody's prayers, but he doesn't. The scripture's really clear. You just get into Proverbs chapter 15, you look at the life of King Saul, and we'll find a pattern in his life that he did not seek the Lord characteristically in his life. And the times that he did seek him, God didn't even measure it on his scale for Saul's life. He just said, he never sought me in life. Because the rare times that he did seek him were like dust on a scale. Immeasurable. It didn't matter. It's insignificant.
Amen.
And we cannot live our life now nor in the end where our seeking the Lord is like dust on a scale. I want to tell you, we need to be known. God needs to know who we are. Amen.
Amen.
Not the mere fact that he's redeemed us, that he knows us, but he needs to know who we are because we're constantly seeking him. We're constantly asking him. We're constantly pursuing him. That's how King David lived. I don't know if y'all picking up on this, but if you notice, every time David would go to a place or to another place, or should he do this or should he do that, the scripture says, and David inquired of the Lord. And God told him where to go, God told him when to go, and God told him how to go. And that's how he lived. And that's why, in spite of or regardless to the fact that David did things worse than what King Saul did, David was a man that God knew intimately and personally. And when he failed, he came to the Lord. And when he walked in righteousness before God, he sought God out. And his life was measured by how he sought the Lord. Where on the other hand, King Saul's life, his seeking God didn't even register on the scales of justice before the Lord. And he tells us here, God killed him because he didn't inquire of him.
Amen.
So the few times in life that he did inquire had no bearing. It didn't matter. It was empty. It didn't have anything to benefit him in life. And what we find in verse 13 are three distinct, what I would call, manifestations. They reveal why Saul lived his life the way that he did, because he didn't inquire of the Lord. When you don't inquire of the Lord, these three things are going to be manifested in our lives. Number one, what are they? Verse 13 says, so what did Saul do? He died as a result of his trespasses, his unfaithfulnesses, his transgressions. He died because he transgressed against the Lord. And it was evident that he didn't seek God in life. He didn't inquire of him, and his trespasses manifested that. He lived in such a way that he did things on his own. He went his own way. No different than the majority of the Israel in that day. He simply did not inquire of the Lord. And when you don't inquire of the Lord, you can't obey God.
Amen.
And when you don't obey God, what do? You transgress against him. You go against him. And Saul was a man who had a new heart, who had the Spirit of God come upon him, but he didn't cultivate that with a lifestyle of inquiring of the Lord. And what resulted was is that he went his own way. And when a man goes his own way, he without question goes against the way of the Lord. And that there is a trespass. That there is unfaithfulness. That is a backslidden, wayward heart. That's why God told, for an example, to Joshua. Go look in Joshua, if you would. Joshua 1 in verse number 8. These things have not changed. They didn't change in Moses' day. They didn't change with Joshua. And they didn't change with King Saul. And they wasn't going to change with King David. And they won't change with you and me either. Notice what verse number 8 says. Joshua 1:8 says, this book of the law, this book of the word of God, this book of the way of the Lord shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night. Why? Why was Joshua? Why was Moses? Why was King Saul? Why was David? Why does Brother Nick have to meditate and mull over and saturate my mind and mouth with the Word of God? Well, that purpose statement tells us that, Joshua, you may observe or you may keep to do according to all that is written in it. Well, why would you want to do that is all that is written in it? Because it's the best way. It's God's way. It's the only way to live. And the only way to live it is you got to meditate in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have not I commanded you, be strong and of good courage? Do not be afraid nor dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Joshua, as long as you're meditating, as long as you're keeping, and as long as you're walking in the will and the way of God, you can count on the Lord to hear you when you inquire of him, to empower you to walk in his ways, and to fulfill his mission in life. What we have in Joshua 1:8 and what we see throughout the Word of God, God says, here's my plan. My plan is you meditate on me, what I've given you, my way. The purpose you meditate on it, this is God's purpose, so that you can walk in it. What is the prize? So that your life will be fruitful and bring glory to my name. And God hadn't changed his plan. God hadn't changed his purpose. And God hadn't changed the prize. But King Saul chose to go his own way instead of God's way. And when you go your own way instead of God's way, what do? You transgress. And when you transgress, you know what you can't do? You can't keep the word of God. You can't observe it. You can't protect it. You can't keep your eye on it because you don't know it, Mama Rob. When you don't meditate on it, amen? I don't know about y'all, but if I'm not constantly filling my mind and my heart up with the Word of God and hearing from the Lord, I do things that are uncharacteristic of myself and of a believer that is walking with the Lord. It's something that I've got to constantly be putting in my mind and my body and my spirit to let God work in me so that he can work out of me what he wants to be done. And I've got to saturate my life with his ways and his word, or I'm not going to walk in his ways. Amen. So the revelation that King Saul wasn't inquiring of the Lord was that he was backslidden, doing his own thing, not meditating on the law of the Lord, and there was no way that he could keep the word of God. So this is what we see Saul doing. He transgressed in his unfaithfulness because he wasn't meditating and seeking the Lord, and therefore he couldn't keep his word. He couldn't keep the way of God because he couldn't protect what God had given him, because you can't walk in what you don't have.
Amen.
But what did he do? Go back and look, if you would, in 1 Chronicles chapter 10, verse 13. God killed him because he did not live a life that would characterize him as seeking the Lord, inquiring of God. That's why God killed him. That lifestyle was manifested in his unfaithfulness or his transgression. It was manifested in the fact, verse 13 says, then he didn't keep the word of the Lord. And also the third reason, because he consulted with a medium for guidance. In essence, this is what that's saying. His efforts to gain insight came from others and not God.
Amen.
So listen, this is the three things that revealed his lack of seeking God. One, his trespasses, his unfaithfulness, that is his backsliding. He went against the Lord instead of doing God's plan. His failure to keep or observe the word of God. Why? Because he trespassed against God. He went his own way. And then number three, his efforts to gain insight from others rather than God. The medium was just a highlighted manifestation that King Saul chose to hear from other people rather than God himself.
Amen.
That's all it was. It encapsulated his life. that he turned to everything else but the Lord as a way of living. And when he ended his life, when the life was over for him and God gave an evaluation of King Saul's life, it says that the times that he did seek help from me were like dust on the scale. They don't hold no weight. They haven't amounted to anything. And what revealed these facts is that he walked against me. He did not walk in my word. And he sought answers from everybody else but me as a way of life. And I want to tell you, you don't want that to characterize you. I don't want it to characterize me. Amen?
Amen.
I want to be known before the throne of God as a man who sought the face of God, that I can hear the word of God, that I can walk in the way of God and fulfill the will of God. Amen?
Amen.
Now, will I do that flawlessly? No. Did David do it flawlessly? No, but he was a man that sought him, didn't he?
Come on.
And as a result, God blessed him in so many ways. I wrote this down as I was going through this. When your seeking is measured like the dust on a scale, if you're best known for not seeking Jesus as a way of life, the few times that you have uncharacteristically sought him won't count. Like dust. It won't even measure on the scale of your life when it's all said and done. Man, we don't want to be there, amen? So what is God's plan for us? To seek the Lord with all our heart. Look in Jeremiah 29. Go to Jeremiah 29. Do y'all know that Jesus is able to heal our backslidings? God's got an answer for transgressions. He's got an answer for trespasses. God has an answer for unfaithfulness. God's got an answer for wayward living. Jeremiah 29. Let's just start reading in verse 11. That's probably a familiar passage. Verse 11 says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord. And the thoughts that I think toward you are thoughts of peace and of not evil, to give you a future and a hope." Now keep in mind, these thoughts also included 70 years in Babylon.
Amen.
God was fixing to send his people into Babylon. Nebuchadnezzar was about to come in. So he's talking about them nationally. He's talking about them as a whole, that he's going to restore them back to this prominence that he had chosen for them, and that the Messiah was still coming. God was going to do a work in them, but there was a lot of hard days ahead of them, even though God knew the thoughts and that his thoughts were to be peace toward them and hope and to give them a future, but it included a lot of heartache and pain on the journey. Verse 12 says, "Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and when you do, I will" what? "I will listen to you." Why? Because you're operating in my peace. You're operating in my hope. You're operating in my plans. When you're operating in my plans by faith, and you're operating from my hope by faith, and you're walking in my peace, when you talk to me, I'm going to hear you. Verse 13 says, "And you will seek me. And when you seek me, you're going to find me. When you search for me with" what? Had King Saul acknowledged his trespasses, his backsliding before the Lord, had he sought him with all his heart, inquired of him, and had he allowed the way of God and the will of God, the word of God, by faith become his word, his way, and his will in life, God would have been found of him.
Amen.
But because he didn't live that away, and he didn't seek him with all his heart, the times that he did seek him didn't even count.
Amen.
Wasn't even measured, like dust on a scale. Oh, what a great God we serve. What a glorious King we are to love and live for. God's plan has not changed. His purpose has not changed. And the prize hasn't changed.
Amen.
But I want to tell you, he requires faith. Hebrews 11 says it like this, that it's impossible to please God apart from faith. Yeah. And he that comes to God, he that seeks him, must believe that he is God and that he rewards those that diligently seek him. Amen.
Amen.
You see, Saul lived a life seeking answers from lifeless, useless things, vain, empty things. And when he really needed to hear something from God and he sought him, God wouldn't listen to him, nor would he give him an answer. Why? Because he lived a pattern of his life where he didn't need God's answers for life. And I want to tell you, that's a dangerous place to live.
Amen.
Which also reveals the chastening hand. Karen asked the other night, did I believe God? Did I believe King Saul was saved? Was he a believer? Well, God wouldn't have chastened him and disciplined him with such severity and mentioned that God killed him because he didn't inquire of him. If Saul was this reprobate that didn't belong to him, he would have just left him to himself. And we wouldn't even see this chastening hand of God upon him. Because the Lord chastens those whom he loves. He scourges every son whom he receives. And the scriptures teach us for the believer there are sins unto death. And Saul's sins unto death were an accumulation of a life lived without seeking and inquiring of the Lord. It manifested in how he lived without God, how he walked without his word, and how he sought answers from everybody else. Now, how does that help you and me? Well, it helps you and me, number one, to ask ourselves, you know, who do I seek? Who do I seek for answers for life? Amen. Where am I going? What am I doing? Will it be known of me? Will that be said of Nick? Well, Nick really didn't seek me. When he did, it didn't matter. It doesn't amount to much because he rarely ever sought me out for guidance and inspiration. He listened to what they said on the radio. He watched what they said on the TV. He read what he read in books. But he never sought me in what I had chosen for him and what I delighted to do in his life. He just didn't do that consistently. And as a result, what he did do doesn't measure on the scale.
Amen.
Well, if that be the case, I'm going to live a life against the Lord. I'm going to live a life not walking in his word, and I'm getting my help from everybody else but him. That's how it helps me. But it also helps me recognizing other people's lives that I walk with or that I work with or that I'm around. Is this person somebody who seeks God out for help? Is this somebody that I can depend on that when I ask them to pray for me that God listens? Why? Because they live a life seeking him and God hears them and God uses them. And if that not be the case, then I've got somebody that either is backslidden or somebody that still needs to be born again. Amen?
Come on.
So now I'm the missionary to help that person get their eyes back on Jesus.
Amen.
Or that person to be rescued by the blood of Jesus. So all these things are tools to help us as we watch people around us and as we serve people around us, we want to realize that, hey, God's placed us where he's placed us to be a blessing to people. And when people are against him, people are not walking in his word and they're getting answers from everywhere else, there's only one of two reasons. They either don't know him, never served him, don't belong to him, or they're wayward in heart and they need to be revived. And I could be the instrument that God uses, amen, by interceding for them, by stepping in the gap for them, by being a tool that can come alongside and help them get their eyes back on Jesus. And I believe God will use us. Amen. I believe he'll use us. We don't want to live life like King Saul. We want to be men and women whose hearts are after the Lord. Let God have his way with us.
Yes, amen.
Father, we thank you today. Thank you for your help. We pray that you give us insight on these things and that we would evaluate our own life, whether or not we are diligently seeking you with our whole heart. Are we walking in your way? Are we meditating on the way of the Lord, on the word of God, day and night, and we're not letting it depart from our mouth? We're chewing on it, mulling it over, and we're getting everything we can out of it as a cow chews the cud. We're getting all the eternal value that you have for us in your word so that we can walk in it, that we can be fruitful and bring glory to you. Help us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Yeah.